of Philly streets. He brings the groove and divine deets. Tales of dreams and rainbow skies. The joy he spreads is no disguise. Sheen Anthony takes the mic each rising. Gonna light up your soul now, you're shining. Sound healing and stories flow on the Sheen Anthony Show. Tune in, don't miss this divine time. Every word shifts the paradigm. From rising haze to evening glow, it's the Sheen Anthony Show.
Peace, peace. You are now tuned in to On Air Philadelphia. Welcome to the Sheen Anthony Show. I'm your host, Sheen Anthony, of course. And today we are going to talk about the Enneagram Within. That's right, the Enneagram Within. Y'all probably like, what the heck is an Enneagram? What in the world? Where have you went? Well, look, the Enneagram is essentially aligned with our personality. So it's like a model of the human psyche that describes 9 interconnected personality types. So it's a system that helps us understand our core motivations, our fears, and our patterns of behavior. So I'm definitely going to go into this a lot more because I feel like as I've been stepping into the journey of accepting myself in totality, I've realized that there are certain aspects of ourselves that just could be more grounded, you know, and the reason why I say more grounded is because, like, I believe grounding something is bringing something down to the root, like understanding of it, so that way I'm able to fully embrace who I am. So yeah, when I came across the Enneagram, it really just put a lot of things in perspective, and I'm really excited to share that with y'all. But before we jump right in, let's get into a sound healing. Let's ground ourselves wherever you are. Find a comfortable position, either seated, lying down, and just close your eyes. Place your hand on your heart and place your other hand on your gut so you can fill your breath with intent and breathe.
Inhale, exhale, inhaling peace and exhaling any stress or worry. Let your breath be your anchor, grounding you into this present moment. Feel the gentle rise and fall of your chest, a rhythm of life within you. Now bring your attention inward to see the landscape of your inner world without judgment, without analysis. Simply observe. Notice any thoughts, feelings, or sensations that arise. Allow them to float by like clouds in the sky. There's no need to cling to them. Just let them be. And imagine your inner self. Safe, secure. In a state of serenity. And gently ask yourself, what feels most true about me right now? What feels most true about me right now? that bring your hand to your heart to feel the warmth of your touch and offer yourself a gentle word of kindness and repeat, may I be at peace. May I be free from suffering. May I know my own worth. May I transmute anything that no longer serves me into ease, grace, and prosperity. May you receive comfort, understanding, and love. And know that you are not alone in this journey from the earth and the heavens above. Ashe. Ashe, ashe, ashe. I definitely just want to take just three intentional breaths real quick before we dive into this conversation. Deep inhale. Inhaling faith. Exhale. Letting go of fear. Deep inhale. Breathing in trust. Exhale. Letting go of worry. Last one, deep inhale. Breathing in love and power. And exhale, letting go of anxiety and anything that no longer serves us. Ashe. So look, we all got patterns, right? The ways that we react, the things that we get hung up on, the things that we go through on a day-to-day basis. So essentially, the Enneagram, it shows you those patterns, like those ego traps that we fall into. But it's not about judging ourselves. It's more about seeing ourselves honestly. And we've been talking about truth a lot in the last few episodes. We definitely have been honoring our truth with ourselves. And, you know, because these are patterns, they can usually become more subconscious. So we have to bring those things to the forefront so that way we can have those moments like, oh, that's why I do that. Like, that's what's going on here, you know? And I think having those moments are very, very powerful towards our perspective of how we see ourselves. So, you know, patterns essentially can create walls and they can keep us from connecting with ourselves and with each other. So, you know, it's an as within, so without reality. So it's like if I'm doing that to myself, if I'm putting a barrier up with myself, it's making it harder for me to connect with others. So I got to connect with the deepest part of myself. So essentially, the Enneagram is going to be like a wrecking ball for those walls. You know, it's about coming home to ourselves. And we should definitely know that by the last episode, you know, because home is a state of being. Okay, because when I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. So yes, with that being said, there are 9 types that are broken down in this Enneagram. Essentially, it looks like a 9-pointed star. And, you know, you'll get to see that by understanding this, we'll start to see our core fears, our motivations, and then we begin to release them. So this is not about changing who we are. But it's more about stripping away the layers that hide our true selves. You know, like Shrek said, we're like onions. Well, he was more so referring to ogres. But still, like onions, because ogres have layers. So it's like, you know, human beings have layers too. And when we break it down, we get to see, you know, the deepest part of ourselves. So let's go into this and really break down all 9 types that are aligned in the Enneagram. And I believe you'll be able to discern. You know, you can take a test if you would like, you know, to go and just check it out just to see what personality type they would identify you as. But I believe you will be able to use your intuition to know which one is aligned with you. So here we go. Number 1, the reformer, also known as the perfectionist. The core motivation here is to be good, right, and improve the world. The reformer's strengths is principled, responsible, organized, and ethical. But the weaknesses are critical, judgmental, rigid, and can be self-righteous. Number two, the helper, also known as the giver. The core motivation here is to be loved and needed. The strengths are caring, empathetic, generous, and supportive. The weaknesses can be people-pleasing, intrusive, and can also neglect their own needs. Number three, the achiever, also known as the performer. The core motivation here is to be successful and admired. The strengths are driven, adaptable, efficient, and confident. But the weaknesses are image conscious, a workaholic, and can be deceptive. Number four, the individualist, also known as the romantic. The core motivation here is to find meaning and authenticity. The strengths is creative, expressive, insightful, and empathetic. The weaknesses, though, are moody, self-absorbed, and can be dramatic. Number five, the investigator, also known as the observer. Core motivation here is to understand and know. Because how can you know what you don't understand, okay? The strengths are analytical, independent, insightful, and perceptive. But the weaknesses are detached, isolated, and can be secretive. Number six, the loyalist, also known as the skeptic. Core motivation here is to find security and support. The strengths, loyal, of course, responsible, supportive, and courageous when secure. The weaknesses is anxious, doubtful, and can be defensive. Number seven, the enthusiast, also known as the adventurer. Core motivation here is to avoid pain and experience joy. The strengths is optimistic, spontaneous, versatile, and enthusiastic. And the weaknesses can be scattered, impulsive, can avoid difficult emotions. Number eight, the challenger, also known as the protector. The core motivation here is to be in control and avoid vulnerability. So the strengths are powerful, assertive, decisive, and of course, protective. The weaknesses is confrontational, intimidating, and can be aggressive. And the last one, number nine, is the peacemaker, also known as the mediator. Core motivation is to maintain peace and avoid conflict. The strengths are easygoing, agreeable, patient, and supportive. But the weaknesses are passive, indecisive, and can avoid conflict. So those are the nine Enneagram personality types. And essentially, like we said earlier, like the core idea is essentially knowing that we have a dominant personality type that influences how we perceive the world and interact with others. So this goes beyond the surface level traits. So that way we can delve into the underlying reasons behind our actions. So now that we've went through all nine, I think it's really important to be able to acknowledge our growth as well. So I hope that this episode can be something that you can return back to so that way you can be able to see which one applies to you, whether it was your intuition helping you discern which one is aligned with you or if you felt called to take the personality test to see, you know, how that reflects against your, you know, patterns right now. So now I just really want to go into the growth path of each one, because essentially this is focusing on how we can move towards a healthy expression. And each one has its own way, you know, of reaching its healthier expression of self. So maybe this is something that, you know, you're working on, and, you know, maybe this can bring some type of revelation towards your journey at this current moment. So just to go through the nine one more again, talking about the growth path. One, the reformer, perfectionist, from judgment to discernment, from being rigid to being flexible, which is cultivating self-acceptance and acceptance of others, learning to find peace in imperfection. Number two, the helper, known as the giver. The growth path is from people-pleasing to self-care, from intrusiveness to respecting boundaries, learning to receive as well as give, developing self-worth independent of helping others. Okay, I kind of felt that one. Number three, the achiever, known as the performer. The growth path is from image consciousness to authenticity, from being a workaholic to becoming emotionally aware, learning to value the intrinsic worth over external validation, learning to be okay with failure. Okay, now I'm about to go in real quick. Hold on. Whoever this is who is learning to be okay with failure, I want to just say to you that what if you're not failing? What if you're going forward towards your success? What if everything that you perceived as a failure is really a way that's bringing you closer to your success? You know, what if you're failing forward? You know, like, I don't really think there is a such thing as failure unless you really perceive that to receive that energy. I think that failure is essentially bringing you closer to learning how to become better, you know, or how to get better. So I just wanted to drop that off with you real quick before we go into the next one. So bam, number four, the individualist, also known as the romantic. The growth path here is from self-absorption to connection, from moodiness to emotional stability, learning to appreciate the present moment and learning that they are not missing anything. There is no fear of missing out. No FOMO over here. All right. So number five, the investigator, also known as the observer. The growth path here is from detachment to engagement. Woo! From isolation to participation. Learning to share their knowledge and insights, and learning to be involved with the world. Number six, the loyalist, also known as the skeptic. The growth path here is from anxiety to trust, from doubt to self-assurance, learning to embrace uncertainty and learning to trust their own inner guidance. That's really something. I'm starting to see my soulkin reflections in a lot of these different genres, so that's really something right there, because like I said, we've just been talking about trust, and I definitely believe embracing uncertainty is a way of seeing, you know, a new becoming, you know, because we don't know what's on the other side. We don't even know if we're going to make it to tomorrow, but we trust and have faith that that is what is going to happen, you know, and we're going to keep that in the forefront. So bam, number seven, the enthusiast, also known as the adventurer. The growth path here is from avoidance to facing challenges, from impulsiveness to focus, learning to find contentment in the present moment, and learning to commit. It's like, who are we committing to? Yourself. You got to commit to yourself to be able to commit to other people. And then number eight, the challenger, also known as the protector. The growth path here is from confrontation to vulnerability, from control to collaboration, learning to use their power for good, and learning to be soft. I think with this genre, it really just brought to my mind
how when people be like, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, it's instead of being pushed to the moment where you gotta really give the will to God, just trusting that you're being divinely guided and led in your, you know, aligned path, that everything is working out in your favor, that things are happening for you and not to you. And that way you can comfortably sit in the passenger seat and be, you know, a passenger seat prince, a passenger seat princess, and let God just guide you to where you're meant to be, because you're only going to be where you're meant to be. And then the last one, number 9, the peacemaker, also known as the mediator. So the growth path here is from being passive to becoming assertive, from avoidance to engagement, learning to express their own needs and desires, and learning to take action where it is needed. Wow. Okay. That was really something. I'm really glad that I was able to share that, John, because as I was reading it, I'm starting to feel like this, that we're definitely not boxed in to just any one, because maybe we have parts in our lives that reflect these different energies, you know? Like, maybe the Enneagram is, you know, not only recognizing the patterns, but essentially noticing our perception of reality and the passions that drive our unconscious behaviors. You know, like, I'm thinking of it as a mirror reflecting back to us ourselves that we often ignore. And the fact that it was even broken down like that, it just made it just more reflective. It just made it more prominent on, like, oh, that's something that I am working on, or that is something that I have worked on before. Wow. Yeah, I think that really just gave myself even a state of reflection. So that way, we, you know, we're not separating our true selves, you know, or separating ourselves from others, or separating ourselves from the divine. We're actually able to embody who we are in our wholeness. I think that the whole journey is being able to dissolve those barriers so that way we can return to a state of wholeness. So that way, by understanding ourselves, we can begin to release all of the things that no longer align, like those core fears. And each of them definitely had a way of acknowledging the fear or the weakness. And because we're human beings, you know, we definitely have to take time to, you know, really just process and acknowledge and reflect on ourselves, so that way we're able to be in a state of security and emotional stability with ourselves. And that's why I think affirmations is really important when it comes to building our mental fortitude. But yeah, I definitely want to leave y'all with some questions, so you can just sit on that, you know, answer that if you want on your own time, or if you want to send your answer into the Sheen Anthony Show, we would love to have you. We would love to hear your voice. So I want to know, which of the core motivations that we discussed today resonates most strongly with you, and why? Another question is, what's one area of growth that you would like to focus on in your own life? And the last one is, how can you incorporate self-compassion into your daily life, especially as you explore yourself and your Enneagram type? Okay? And on that note, I'll catch you next Monday rising 10:30 a.m. on the
Sheen Anthony Show.